Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
What's up, everybody?
All right, go ahead.
Yo, welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is Sam.
Yo, on today's episode, man, we're gonna talk about this. Talk a little bit about, you know, what we saw in Wake Forest, and then we'll dive into Louisville and some of the things we're expecting to see going forward. Man, Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
All right, let's do it, man. So we've seen a lot this week, man. It's been a coach speak has been a little different. I'll say that. So, I guess that's not to take the words that the coaches have said and parse them specifically. I mean, what are some of the things I guess you've heard throughout this week that kind of made you say,
Nothing really. I mean, I don't think we've got a whole lot of, I don't know. I think the coaches have been somewhat honest with everybody, man. It's excuses. I think a lot of people are making excuses for the coaches, you know, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. We back to blaming players.
I heard somebody say one of the players are the coaches. That threw me for a loop.
It ain't nobody.
Nobody.
Looking at the, you know, just like the pure production of the football team and stuff, and a lot of stuff just kind of bothers me. I didn't know DJ Matthews, based on what the yards and stuff he got at Indiana, which ain't a lot. It was like 11 catches for 150 yards. That would actually lead our team if we had those same stats.
No, it's funny because I saw you and CJ get into it on the timeline.
Well, it really
was
wasn't
like,
to get
y'all want CJ, y'all want DJ back. Nobody want DJ back. We understand why DJ had to leave. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, it like people got mad, be like, I wanted him back. I never said I wanted him back. I never said that. I'm just saying, like, how like, where is our explosiveness at? And we actually got guys that's kind of built like DJ. You know what I'm saying? That's why I put the clip out with Jakai Douglas. I'm like, well, we got little fast guys that can beat some man coverage if you know, put him in a game and make it happen. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of this stuff, and a lot of things I find out is people, so I got some questions. People ask me some questions, man, and I'm going to get to one of them right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's really supposed to be like a little question show. We had a guest, but they kind of canceled on me last minute. But, you know, one of the questions somebody sent me was, can his coaching staff, will we see good football, and will his coaching staff turn it around? That was one question I got. I'm not gonna answer that yet. Yeah, can this coaching staff turn it around? Like, will we start seeing winning football down the line in the season?
Okay.
So, what I would tell you is this coaching staff has a chance to turn it around, right? Because I think they are on the same message, right?
Right.
I think they do all personally believe in Mike Norvell, his system, and what he does. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which that hasn't been the case in the last two coaching staffs, like towards end with Jimbo. I don't think Jimbo trusted those guys anymore. I don't think those guys believed in Jimbo anymore. With Willie, you know, he didn't get the first guys he wanted. He brought other guys in. They didn't really believe in him. They was getting paid from, you know, and it was just like, it was a cluster, right? Because like the administration empowered certain people to be able to speak up to Willie. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't fully in, he was in charge, but towards going into that second year, it's almost like they tried to turn him into a figurehead. You know what I'm saying? You know what, Mike, it's Mike's program, right? True. It's Mike's program. And that's the main thing I keep trying to, you know, impress on people as they keep making these excuses. Like, this is Mike's program. Like, he flipped the roster. We said all this before the season. Like,
got rid of all the bad guys.
Got rid of the bad guys. Yeah. Got his coaches, his guys. He developed assistant coaches. They get bigger jobs. we said all these things. Like, so now we can't just turn back around now that we 0-3 and be like, nah, hold up. He got to flip 95% of the roster. You know, and I don't even know.
All them other bad guys. Wait, there more of them? I thought he got rid of
yeah.
all
Yeah. And then another thing I can't understand is, like, why don't we get good football from players that was thought highly of? Like, the Travis J situation. What's going on with Travis J? Like, was he a good defensive back? Did he beat out everybody in camp? The start against Notre Dame, was he cornerback number one? And if he is cornerback number one, what's going on with him? Why is he not playing more? Like, why is DeMaurice Tate getting snaps over him?
Why is
Jaren Jones getting snaps over him? Is he hurt? Like, I mean,
valid question.
Right. I'm just saying, like, you can't tell me, like, Akeem Dent, he was in position versus Notre Dame, making plays. Wasn't great, wasn't picking the ball off, but hey, making plays. Yeah. He in position. Where is he at now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and it's Ja'Kai Douglas. Made a play against Notre Dame. Big play. Fast guy. Where is he at? It's 2 weeks. Where is he at? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on with these personnel? And what's making it where we can't win football games? Why can't we score points? It's all these questions I have. And people get a little antsy and upset about these questions that I throw out on Twitter. But, I mean – I never called Parchman wide receiver one. Y'all did that. I didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? I never did that. I was on this podcast and I said, I expect by game 5 or 6, I expect that McClain to be wide receiver one. Did I not? That's what I said, right? I didn't see it. I just didn't see it, you know? So, you know. But I do think they can turn it around. I think if the offensive line get healthy, but what's turning around? Does that mean they win 4 games in a row?
Literally, the question I was going to ask you, what does that mean when you say turn it around, right? Because in my opinion, I can't give them – I think we all can look at this and say they probably got 1 or 2 wins in this season. So when you say turn it around, I mean, do you mean like they can identify what they're trying to do? Yeah. Do you believe they can – scheming up better and be better prepared for some of these games and not look lost? Yeah. Do I believe that they can identify who their starters are? Because they don't know. And that's what I was going to say. You know, when you talked about where's Ja'Kai Douglas, where's some of these other guys, I just think they don't know. I think they have no idea what they have, who they have at certain positions, why they weren't, and they went into panic mode. They saw something at Jacksonville State and was like, oh, no, we got to switch it all up. Not really. I mean, whatever you rolled out with Notre Dame with, you should have rolled out Jacksonville State with, and you should have rolled out last week with. Only change I probably would have made was quarterback. Actually, no, you rolled out with Jordan Travis. So I would have rolled out with Jordan Travis again.
Yeah, I would have.
Whatever that evaluation was that you made in the offseason seemed like it was pretty close to
in that first game.
Not 100%, but pretty close to right.
But I guess my thing would be
you need massive overhaul.
Yeah, you break a season down into 4 quarters, right? The first 4 games, that's the first quarter. Second 4 games, it's the second quarter. Mm-hmm. You know, next 4, you know, so on and so on, right? You went through a whole spring and a whole summer. And what shook out for the starting lineup was what you had against Notre Dame, right? Like, what changed between Notre Dame, Jack State, and Wake Forest? Like, you should be like, hey, this was our evaluation. This is what we decided to do. And this idea, like, and I'm going to tell you something, man. The goalpost moving is hilarious to me because now we're saying, well, our wide receiver's so bad that our cornerbacks can't be good. You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't even make no damn sense. I mean, right. I'm hearing silly stuff. Like, his technique is not – so you're trying to tell me the DB technique can't be good because the wide receivers are no good? That you trying to tell me good cornerbacks are not developed and it's bad wide receiver
play? I mean, people just flat out – here's the thing, man. And all I keep saying is you don't have to. They're not getting fired, right? Nobody's – Fuller ain't been fired, now they ain't firing Fuller. So we might as well just forget it, right? So if they haven't figured out enough just cause to fire Adam Fuller, he's not getting fired. Period. Let's not even talk about it. If Mike Norvell can't be fired because they can't afford it. So at this present moment, it don't really make no sense to still be out here lying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't make no sense to still be out here just making up stuff. Listen, The receivers aren't good, but they're good enough to beat Wake Forest DBs.
They're good enough to beat Jacksonville State.
They're good enough to beat Jacksonville State DBs.
The DBs are good enough to guard Jacksonville State.
The DBs are good enough to guard Jacksonville State wide receivers and also Wake Forest. Maybe not the one dude. The one dude's supposed to be like a first round pick, but you can also scheme against that.
But my, okay.
So that he don't beat you.
This is my other thing with the DB situation. You evaluated Brownlee as a field corner. He's not a boundary corner. Why are you then switching him over to boundary? He's not a boundary corner. Like, he doesn't have the speed or the quickness to be a boundary guy. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, right, as a nickel and as a number two cornerback, he's perfect for that. Now he's having right, confidence issues. You know what I'm saying? Right. Now we got a DB with confidence issues. We got another DB that we don't even know why. Like, I don't understand it, Travis. I know Travis J. It's good football in that kid.
Right.
It's good football in Akeem Dent, dude. Like, we've seen it. Like, I don't understand that. Like, that's it's ridiculous to me. And I'm kind of like, when do we start saying, hey, man, you can get better during the season? I put that out today, and I had a former player actually argue me about this. To my, no, you can't, because you got strength and condition. You got to have a – dude, teams get better throughout the season, dude. I've watched
Everybody
football
says
long
you're
enough.
Playing your best football at the end of the season. It's been like,
right,
people say that all the time. What are you talking about? Who don't get better?
Like, you get better. You get better during the season. It happens all
about
the time.
Who said
right?
That?
I seen the thread, but it's like the funniest thing I've ever seen. And so teams can get better throughout the season. So I do think this team can get better throughout the season. I think we could see some growth, but I'm always going to come back to the same thing. I don't think the scheme is good enough, right? Because I don't think the defensive players are playing bad. I'm not saying they're playing bad. I don't think they're playing soft, or they're not trying. I think they are trying. I think they're doing what the defense is asking them to do. I think the offense,
they're doing what the defensive coordinator is asking them to do.
Right, and I think the offense is doing what they're asked to do, right?
Correct.
I don't think, like, okay, yeah, you got some situation where you can't block it up.
So stop putting your players in a position where they have to block it up. Again,
right,
you limited. We knew this going into the season. We knew this at the end of last season when they started to play better, was that they absolutely run block better than pass block. We knew that. So coming into the season, we said they're going to run block better than they pass block. That's what they do well. So then
right,
we continued to just – but then they started the season, and ain't nobody running the ball. So it don't make no sense to me. If you know that this is what the identity of your team is, and they run block better than they pass block, we can see that from the sideline. Why do you have your quarterback dropping back so many times?
Right.
You know who your two running backs are. At least you should know who your two running backs are. Why aren't those the guys who are getting the most reps?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. DBs, why do you have them playing press man coverage if you know they can't go? Like, it don't make any sense that let Brownlee keep getting run by and Jaren Jones keep getting run by. Them dudes ain't fast enough to get – like, if they just not fast enough to guard them, stop putting them in man. What did Jacksonville State say? Jacksonville coach realized y'all have more athletes than we do. So what we're going to do is we're going to put our guys way back and just tell them to come up, make the tackle. I don't care if he get 1,000 catches for 70 yards. It don't matter. They won't ever score that when they'll make more mistakes before they ever get a touchdown. And that should be our game plan. Man, Brownlee likes to hit. He seems to be a pretty sure tackler. Brownlee, ain't no point in having you play press man. You're going to get blown by. Let's instead, as a defensive coordinator, put you in a situation to where you can just come and make tackle. You're going to have to play 5-10 yards off him, and we probably going to lean some coverage your way. Same thing for Jaren Jones. You know what I mean? But all I'm saying is these are things that defensively you can do to help protect your players when you understand who you got and what offensively. There's no point in throwing it to a bunch of receivers who can't catch and can't get open. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And then as they add another guy to the box, because you're gashing them for 8 yards of carry and 9 yards of carry, whatever it is, now they start to, they looking for the run. You can run play action off of it. Then you can throw in a player like Ja'Kai Douglas who can be one-on-one. It's really not rocket science. You know what I mean? Like I heard somebody say it's not Techno Bowl where you call the play, the defense calls the play, and you hope that it works. It kind of is, though. I mean, it's not that simplistic, but it really kind of is. You are calling a play on defense. I'm calling a play on offense, and I want to make sure those work. Yes, the players have to execute it, but at the same time, I got to put my players in the best chance to win the possession. And what I understand, and that's how you know that with your personnel. We all played Madden back in the day, and we all grabbed Mike Vick. And we grabbed Mike Vick because we knew he was faster than most of the defensive players. Like, that was the cheat code. We all remember it. And it's the same concept.
Man, you know, the problem I have with all of it is that the last coach had the same problems. He didn't have an offensive line, and he didn't have a quarterback.
He still managed to get some points, but he had a better coordinator.
Right. You know, he had a better coordinator. He got more points. But at the same time, we wasn't coming up with these excuses. We were saying they're not well coached. They're not well coached. They're not well coached.
It ain't got nothing to do with they not being well coached. It was off the field. He wasn't that terrible of a coach. He was just the off the field was the problem. I've heard that more this week than I've ever heard in my life.
So I got another listener question, and if you hear, man, you know, please hit the subscribe button. Please, you know, hit the like button and everything. Please do that. But I got another question. Somebody said, when was the actual fall? When was the moment that the program actually fell for grace? Like, when was the moment? I'm gonna let you answer that. I got an answer for it.
I honestly believe the day Jimbo left. I'm going to go with the day Jimbo left was probably without any plan in place, without behind the scenes. You brought in another coach without having any. Matter of fact, it probably was the Boston College. Oh, I see somebody say Louisville. No, I think it happened after Louisville. Louisville was bad. I actually think it may have been Boston College just because of the excuses. Because that kind of that's when you know Jimbo was leaving. I think after he came on there and said whatever he was talking about, like, you know what I mean, they were prepared, it was whatever it was. I think that's kind of – so maybe the Boston College game right before Jimbo left.
Yeah, but I would say
– somewhere around the time Jimbo was leaving and we started hearing the rumblings that, no, it's for real, he really going to leave. That was kind of, I think, when we started falling.
Now, I think I go back a little bit further than that, right? I think when they got ready to hire the athletic director – and they hired it was an article in the article that David Hill article, it talked about they was getting ready to hire an athletic director, and they was going to re-up Stan Wilcox, and Jimbo wanted another AD. I think that's actually was when the fall was, because I think if you'd have hired it was like, I want to say it was a 2014, maybe 15 season, somewhere in between the 14 and 15 season. And I think that if they would have actually made the, I think they should have had an athletic director that Jimbo knew. Athletic director that Jimbo knew and that Jimbo wanted, and somebody that he could see that was aligned with the FSU, with the vision that he saw FSU having. I think the biggest problem was, the biggest problem with Florida State, and it's currently the same problem, is everybody want to have a say in the football team, right? Like, I was thinking about this, because somebody brought this point up to me. How many times you see a president down on the field with the head coach hugging him and shit of a college football team? Think about that.
That's the championships?
But I mean, like, you don't really see that, though.
That's what I mean. Like, it gotta be the championship games.
But, you know, we've had a situation where our president is on the field hugging the head coach, and, like, it's like everybody wants to have a part of the football team. Everybody want to have a part of it at Florida State. And everybody want to get credit for the hiring of the coach and the firing of the coach or doing this and doing that. And I think that has kind of halted the process of them hiring a real athletic director, because people want to have that stay of control to be able to go in and out of the more and dictate what goes on with the football team. And I think if they actually would have hired a real athletic director when they was talking about getting rid of Wilcox and getting a real athletic director, and Jimbo wanted them to do that and they didn't do it, I think that was the actual turn and flip for him to start saying they're never going to actually take football serious. I think that's when he kind of started looking around. I think that's when it really all started.
And he ended up being, he ended up being right.
Yeah,
they really weren't taking football seriously, and we saw that with, you know, not only the Willie Taggart hire, but how they treated Willie when he got it. When I say treated Willie, I mean just like lack of behind the scenes, basically saying you got to go win this Florida State.
Yeah,
go win.
You can figure it out.
Yeah, go figure it out. So
yeah, that's one question. I had another question was, so far, what was Mike's biggest mistake so far?
bringing FSU, in his what's buddy it? Adam Fuller. Yeah, it is. Bringing in Adam Fuller. Like, matter of fact, and I ain't even going to get that one all the way on mic, because part of that had to do with, again, I don't know if he was leaving Georgia anyway, but don't bring in Adam Fuller. Adam Fuller didn't come with a track record behind him. That's, I think, what you was preaching for the most part. Not that you don't like Adam Fuller. He didn't come with a track record that said, yo, I should be, you know what I mean? We need to be at, you need to be at Florida State.
It would have been fine if you brought him here and he was like a linebacker's coach or a safety's coach. Right.
There was nothing in his background that said, you call a great defense. We watched those Memphis game. I remember when we were first, I remember watching Memphis on Thanksgiving, going in 60-63, you know, win over UCF or whatever. I remember that. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, those aren't great games. You don't have 63-60 shootouts in the ACC.
Nah, that
has never happened. You don't see those. So when you looking at it and saying, I'm going to bring in the dude because he's down the hall. And we kept saying that. He kept hiring dudes that we was like, all right, well, I mean, I felt like they were better out there, but you just look like he's went around and was like.
Right.
And that's the. And you come with me, you know.
And that is the part that's funny to me. And I've said this before, like, people keep saying stuff like, you know, he didn't have ties to the state. He didn't have ties to this and ties to that. And he had to bring in a recruiting class and he couldn't, he had to build relationships. And I was like, you know, If you make the right type of hire, the P5 school in the South got ties to these big time kids and big time high school coaches and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
What he should have did. Yeah, he should have said, I don't have ties to the South. I don't have ties to any even Power 5, you know, recruits at this point, because I ain't recruiting at that level. So I need to find some people who do, so that we can come. Because in other words, we need the influx of talent. And so where I give him credit is for understanding it and fixing it this last season. And now you see the results based with the recruiting class they have. And I'm also, when I talk about, I think somebody mentioned like positive where we go from here. Nowhere really. Next year, though, the thing I was worried about was you go 0 and something, you're going to lose your class. It appears as if you're not going to lose the class. And so if you're not going to lose a class, if you go 0 and whatever it is, then, hey, salute, you know what I mean? Because then I can say next year, absolutely be better. Travis Hunt ain't getting burnt by nobody, and he gonna burn a lot of people. And that right there just it changes it. And here's why, and I want to talk about a little bit more why, you know, him specifically. The classes is AJ Duffy is better, a lot of people are better, whatever. But just having a guy like Travis Hunter who can take the top off, because you're gonna have to roll coverage, which makes McClain get open a whole lot more. You know what I'm saying? Because now you can't just – basically, I think I heard it maybe in a – I don't know who I've listened to. Basically, what defensive coordinators have said, y'all line can't block us. Y'all wide receivers can't get open. So let's see y'all figure out a way around it. And basically, our coaches have not been able to figure out a way around it, right? And so, I mean, that's the truth of it, right? So you can't do that. It doesn't make you one-dimensional next season, because now you have a guy who guaranteed going to get open. And even if he's not open, you can still kind of throw some jump balls to him, and he absolutely going to be able to out-jump some people, make some catches or whatever, which then makes McClain look a little better. It makes your other receivers look a little better as well. It helps everybody. But when you don't have that legit threat, basically what you're seeing now, there ain't nobody who fears anybody in our wide receiver core. And honestly, they don't really fear our DBs either.
You know what's funny, though? I actually don't think that Wake Forest didn't fear the wide receivers. I think Wake Forest didn't fear the quarterbacks, if that makes sense.
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's a combination.
I think it's a combination,
Because I think if you look at the wide receivers, I think that you should be able to scheme in man-to-man defense, you should be able to scheme somebody open in man-to-man defense. Any
good coordinator should.
Any good coordinator can do that, right? But I think his mind frame was,
they don't have slants in his route tree.
Hey, man.
Because one-on-one, like, man coverage is usually like, you know, slant. Slant is usually work against man coverage.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, remember they schemed open Pookie Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Pookie,
They schemed up Pookie. He got free. All right. So it's not impossible, but I think what Wake was thinking was, What's the guy? Milton.
Before you even get into what Wake was thinking, a man said, a coach said, they've never played man before. We've never seen them in man. And they decided they were going to play man. And we didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it was wild. That was wild.
And what's funny is people have given him credit for it. Like, yo, I mean, he was
honest.
He don't want to roll the players.
Yeah.
They played man and we ain't never.
But I would say that I think that for the most part, I think he didn't believe Milton. Milton doesn't throw the ball that far, right? Mm-hmm. So he's thinking his ball don't get there quick. As long as I take the quick stuff away from Milton, that's the offense. The offense is now dead, right? Mm-hmm. And then with Jordan Travis, he can throw it far, right? So when he come to the game, we'll just back up two safeties up. Mm-hmm. He can throw it farther, but it takes him so long to read it that the safety should be able to get there, right?
Forget the safeties being there. The linemen don't got there. Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to mention, he ain't got no gear no more. I don't know. If
I think it was more the quarterback. I think it was more the quarterback. So I got another question right here that somebody just asked. Once a new AD is appointed, how soon do you think we will start to take off? Seems like that's the last step. That's actually the first step, but
he said words on my mouth. I was like, no, we gotta get that first.
I think so. What the AD hire does is, in my opinion, it solidifies your fundraising. It's gonna solidify. I think at that time that AD will come in with an idea of what type of football coach you want. Mm-hmm. He'll be able to evaluate Mike Norvell's staff, probably bring some other people in to help him evaluate the coaching program, the program and everything. And I think it'll take, man, it depends, right? Because if he come in with a list of names and he think he can get two or three of those names that's on his list and they gonna bring a good staff with them, I think it can flip in 1 year. Because I think if you get Duffy, right? I think if you get Duffy this year, yep. If you get Duffy, Hunter, and you get the lineman, I don't care about everybody else, but if you give me Duffy, the lineman, and Hunter,
yep.
You give me all of that, I don't care about that, the rest of it. And you get them 2 years at FSU, give them a brand new coach, competent coaching, P5 level experience, I think you can win 9 games the following year. Because all those guys will be in their junior
year.
Give them 2 years on campus, mm-hmm. right? You get a new coach. That means they all be juniors when a new coach come. I think you automatically win 9 or 10 games the next year. With a competent staff, P5 experience, head coach of the big program, you hire the right guy that believe in what you got going on. You got a new president. You got a long-term AD. I think it can flip just that fast. It's really about the quarterback, though. If A.J. Duffy is good, it can flip fast. It really can.
You can see. Here's matter of fact, you want an example is, look how Clemson is struggling. Because it looks like, again, just looks like early on, they may have missed
quarterback. But we say struggling. Let's say struggling. They're not who they used to be. The defense is still legit.
The offense case. I'm talking about just from an offensive standpoint. Your quarterback is really important in college football. Really important.
Yeah, but you know,
Trevor Lawrence covered up a lot of warts because Trevor Lawrence was able to make NFL throws in college.
Top one pick to do that for you. Right. Top one picks cover
up
all the
things. That's what I mean. Jalen's covered up a lot here at Florida State. So what I'm saying is if A.J. Duffy is that quarterback, and I don't think you're Trevor Lawrence or Jameis, but if he is close to that, he's going to give you, like you said, 8-9 wins immediately. Just because he's not going to make these dumb mistakes that you get. You know what I mean? You beat Notre Dame with A.J. Duffy if A.J. Duffy is legit. And that's what I mean. Like, a good quarterback covers up a lot of your flaws. The same way we saw Dalvin Cook, who covered up a lot of flaws on our team as well. So, in my opinion, I look at it and I say,
While everybody's here, man, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you like the podcast.
Hit that, go to Apple.
I'm going to go there. Go to Apple. Hit 5 stars on that, man. Kobe Noah got a question. Alfred not going to be the AD? I don't know. I would promote Alfred to AD, and I would let him hire.
I guess my question is, why haven't it happened? I agree with you. I'm just trying to figure out what they're waiting on. You know what I mean? What are they waiting on to pull the trigger?
Because I personally believe that people still want to have their hands in the football pot. And I don't think – if I'm an AD, I don't want that job if you're going to be in my business.
Yeah, but
I need to be
AD,
left alone to do my job.
Down,
huh?
A good AD shuts that down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But that makes the job less enticing if I know that you're going to want to do that. I need to have guarantees that you're going to leave me to do my job. I think no, that's I'm the big problem.
Alpha, then, if Alpha is the guy, then he should be able to look at those guys and say, listen, I'll take it, but y'all going to shut up. You know what I mean? Like, leave me alone. Let me do this. Y'all want to get back? Let me get y'all back. You know what I mean? Like, this is that's what should happen. That's what I mean. That's what any other outside AD would do.
Yeah, I think that's what a good AD would do. But I think Alfred being that dude, he's been here for what now? A year? Mm-hmm. No, half a year.
It was probably middle. Yeah, probably half.
About middle of a year. So he's been here long enough to kind of have an idea of what FSU is. I think the fact that he hasn't taken a job, or the fact that they haven't appointed him at the job. And I'm going to have somebody on the show that's going to actually be able to answer this question for y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing out my opinion right now, but I do got somebody lined up for next week that's going to actually answer this question for y'all. I got two people, actually. I think that if you become the AD at Florida State, you need assurances that people are not going to meddle in what you're trying to do. And if they can't give you that assurance, I don't know if they take the job. So, I don't know. Maybe Alfred is negotiating with FSU and saying, maybe. This is what I want. This is how I want it to be. I want to be able to hire the person that's going to control the boosters. You know what I'm saying? Maybe mm-hmm. that's the type of stuff he want to do. I don't know. But somebody said 2 years, they think the whole structure be in place in 2 years. And somebody told me they think a year and a half or a year. So I don't know what that structure looks like. But I got somebody that's going to be able to answer that question that's going to come on at probably next week, I'm thinking. Let me see. We got the next question.
Hector, 743.
Where at?
Hector.
Oh, supposedly.
No. The other one, right below it. 743. So I'm just tuning in, fellas.
Oh, if you can okay.
Hire, there you go.
If you can hire a Fuller's replacement, who are each of your hires? Go.
Honestly, for me, it's Coach Boone.
It's Will Muschamp.
Yeah, give me Coach Crazy Eyes. One thing about Coach Kane, Coach One can recruit, and Coach Crazy Eyes is going to make sure your defense is up to par. He may not be able to do nothing else well, but Will Muschamp going to absolutely have a good defense. I had never seen him with a bad one, to be honest with you.
Mm. Well, I think I take my first swing at Dan Lanning, right?
You're not from Georgia now.
Well, I'm just saying, you call back again, tell him you offer him 2.1, whatever, 1.8.
I'm not money at this point. You're going to well, I mean, you're gonna have to offer him a lot more money.
For yeah, you will.
You see what's happening to Georgia.
Yeah, I see that, yeah.
He got that defense rolling.
Yeah, I think but I'm just saying, like,
project to come back here,
for familiarity-wise, you know, for somebody that Mike's knows, I think you call Dan Lanning first, right?
Right.
Man, it's tough, man. It's tough. Because even with Will Muschamp, if I'm Muschamp, man, do I really want to come coach under Mike Norvell?
Because
I'm basically going to be, doing the GMing for him. I'm basically going to be his GM, right? I'm mm-hmm. going to be his GM. He's going to get a lot of credit, and I don't have a relationship with him, so I might feel some type of way with him getting the credit for what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think,
but I hire Will Muschamp in a second if I can. I will actually hire him over Dan Lanning, but I think you call Dan Lanning first. Mm-hmm. I Muschamp definitely on your list. I think what they need to do right now, they need to evaluate going forward. They need to fire Adam Fuller, promote either John Papuchas or Chris Marv to DC. They need to put Randy Shannon on the field, right? That'll give you an extra help in recruiting, right? Mm-hmm. Let him help recruit for the next 3 to 4 months,
yep.
Right? Because then he'll be doing in-home visits and everything else. Let him help you do that. That's what I would do. And I would evaluate what does the defense look like without Adam Fuller and people that got P5 experience at this level and see what it look like. Because if it looks better, maybe you add two more recruiters to the staff and keep the continuity together. You know what I'm saying? I would evaluate that situation first because I don't think they're going to be able to get a big name. That's my opinion. I don't think they're going to be able to get that guy.
Here's why I say you might be able to get Muschamp, right? If Muschamp is smart, Muschamp understands that Mike Norvell don't look like he's going to succeed here at Florida State. He might be around for a year, but I think what Muschamp may be able to look and say, if I can make this defense into something, even if y'all ain't got nothing on offense, Adam Fuller gonna get. I mean, Mike Norvell gonna get fired. Now right. I've now turned around the defense. I know the ability to recruit. I got Power Five experience. I might be at the top of that list. Now with Florida State high, Will Muschamp doubt it, but maybe right. But maybe he looks at it and says, might be able to, you know, I might be able to make a move here because what's the name may be on his way out. Because Muschamp, because Mike Norvell may be on his way out. So maybe he look at it and play it like that. It's a roll of the dice, but I mean, I'm not hiring Will Muschamp as my head coach. But maybe that's how you look at it. That's the only reason why I think maybe it's a possibility. Lanning, in my opinion, ain't no in hell. Lanning ain't doing that. Lanning ain't going to do that. Not with what he got rolling.
Well, I wouldn't come to a sinking ship, so.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't come either. I mean, so I agree with that, though. That may be the best option short term is to, like you said, take, get rid of Fuller. I'm not promoting Chris Marv to jack nothing. Chris Marv can stay where he's at doing nothing that he's been doing. Yeah. I'll take Papuchas, let him, you know, call my defense and just see what happens. Like you said, and bring Randy Shannon off the field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want Randy Shannon coaching. I mean, I don't want Randy Shannon as the D.C., Randy Shannon, on the field,
He may be able to add to a room. I mean, he ain't adding to a room now, but, I mean, he may be able to add a little bit to the room.
Yeah.
I ain't even getting into that, Ant. I agree with you, but I ain't getting into it.
What's that?
Ant just commented.
Okay. All right.
You may want to take it. You want to take it?
Justin Fuente bit. That Memphis program, the cupboard was stocked when Norvell took over the program. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the concerns when you hired Mike Norvell, that he didn't have experience building. Yeah, he didn't have experience building. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know if he's been a part of a big project like this. And then even somebody was talking about the P5 experience with Kenny Dillingham and Auburn. Well, Auburn wasn't playing good football when Kenny Dillingham was the OC there. He was on his Gus Malzahn was on his way out of a job,
and
it was fired the year after.
It was fired.
so you know, I don't know.
They didn't put up very much fight. They was like, "Oh, you getting him? All right." You know what I mean? Like you could tell. You know, you ain't hear nobody say, "Well, I mean, what they offering, we might match or whatever it is." Nobody seemed like they was too concerned about losing Dillingham.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to get some recruiters. I would try to start the staff with recruiters. I will recruit like gangbusters.
That's
how you're going to get it back, man. Because overall, scheme-wise, maybe you can hire somebody. I mean, you need to fire Ron Dugans and Odell Higgins. I mean, enough is enough.
They keep these guys on staff. I don't know why. I mean, we said at the beginning of the – we said at the end of maybe even the offseason, man, Dugans was 1 foot out, 1 foot in. I mean, and, you know, we had heard that from
– Well, the wide receivers just – they don't play well, man. And, you know, something else, I put this on the timeline. I was like, isn't it weird that our coach was a former wide receiver and a former wide receiver coach and the wide receivers still don't play well? Like, I got two wide receiver coaches on staff, and these wide receivers don't play well. Like, what is that about? Because right. Dabo was a former wide receiver. His wide receivers play pretty damn well. I mean, that's like hiring a quarterback coach. A quarterback coach would be a head coach. And all your quarterbacks suck.
Right.
I got questions about that type of shit.
One thing we knew, Jimbo was going to be able to get them quarterbacks smart. You'll be able to talk yourself into a first-round pick just based on how well you understood the game. Because he was a quarterback. I mean, it just don't make no sense, man.
We 38 minutes into this part. I really didn't want to do them, but 15 minutes on Florida State to be real with y'all. If y'all got some questions,
before we transition it, I mean, you think we see something different in Louisville?
I do think there's a chance we beat Louisville.
Boy, you crazy.
But the biggest problem, the only reason I say that is because Malik Cunningham, when it comes to throwing the football, he is god awful. He's god awful.
You know who else was god awful the week before he played us? Jacksonville State quarterback.
Yeah, he did. He was bad too.
Mm-hmm. You know, man, who else really been that great since he played us?
Who that? Yeah, we got a point. Coin back to being Coin, huh? Back to being the average quarterback I said he was.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I do think if we get Maurice Smith back and we get the other lineman back, I think we move the football, man. And I think if we can move the football. Huh?
Who's our quarterback?
I mean, we got three good legs, so.
All right. Listen, man, I wish I could give y'all the same amount of hope that Sam just gave y'all that we might win the game. I at this point, I'm the next game I think I'll pick them to win will probably be UMass.
UMass. Okay.
That's the next game I will pick them to win, and that one's going to be tight. I'm not picking them to beat anybody, and I'm definitely not picking them to keep it close because they haven't shown the ability to. Every last one of their losses comes in blowouts, except for against Notre Dame. Notre Dame and Jacksonville State, I mean, I guess we can count that as a loss. I mean, loss, but I mean, okay. Notre Dame, Jacksonville State, and then they hop right back on that blowing out train. Louisville probably going to blow them out again. And then they get blown out.
But you know, the bad thing about them getting blown out is not that they get blown out by good teams. Because remember, Willie used to get blown out by good teams. He really did.
Yeah,
but,
the famous meme, you know, buddy in there reading the book and at the top of the stadium.
Yeah. But it's like, we keep getting blown out by bad teams. Mm-hmm. Like, teams that don't have a chance to beat anybody.
Hanging 38 on you and all sorts of stuff and 40 points. And Louisville going to hang another 40 points on you. And I know we ain't getting the 40. So, I just watched Louisville beat UCF, man. We getting blown out.
Yeah, they're going to move the football up and down the field, dude.
They're going to move the football up and down the field. And the funny thing is, I watched Louisville play that first game, and I was like, their O-line is not that great. And their O-line still ain't that great.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if we're going to be able to get some points.
Well, you know one thing. I'll be at the game. So, I'll be checking that out live. So, I want to get back to what we talked about early in the season. We talked about Florida early in the season, Georgia early in the season, Oregon early in the season, and it looks like your boy – might have been on or something.
With who? Oregon?
With all the teams I picked.
What is Florida? Oh, all right. So, Florida and Alabama is one of those games that I think if they play 1,000 times, Alabama win them all, and they probably win them all the same way. Florida, for some reason, just plays Alabama tough. The same way I say it, Boston College always plays us tough. Regardless of how good our team or how bad our team is, Boston College is going to just, for some reason, show up and play. That's how Florida is when they play Alabama, and it was in the swamp. I should have predicted it. I didn't. maybe. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really sure. But Florida. I'll take it. I will say this. Florida. Dan. I shouldn't have doubted Dan. Boy, Dan is Dan. Dan figures out ways to keep games close, win football games, and get bad quarterbacks.
So he's probably going to put together a top 25 offense, Dan, right?
Yeah. To play decent. Yeah. The problem is, are they really going to, are they really winning? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to beat Georgia?
No.
Okay. So then they still not, so, I mean, they're going to be decent as they predicted to be.
Solid 10-win team. Yeah, solid little 10-win.
They get second in the SEC, and then they'll end up, at a New Year's Six Bowl. That's their ceiling. So, yeah, they're going to meet exactly the expectation that they were supposed to meet. Cool.
Okay. Just checking. I'm just saying. I was right there.
Yes.
Because I said they.
No, what you had them at? I thought you had them in the – no, you had Georgia in the SEC championship, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I said
that. Georgia, like, they can win the SEC championship. I would agree with that.
They're going to probably beat
– Oregon still got to play USC. For some reason, Oregon, every time they play USC, no matter how bad a football team – it's the same with the Florida, Alabama. No matter how bad a football team USC is that season –
Oh, let's go back to my Georgia pick. Let's go back to my Georgia pick.
What about your Georgia pick?
Let's just, I mean, you want to slide by these picks, man. Have a conversation.
It's 3 days in, man. We have no conversation. Have a conversation. 3 days in. Let's see what happened. Let me see what happened when they play, get deep in that schedule, man. Georgia, I would give you because they've already beat Clemson. I didn't think they could beat Clemson. So I'll give you Georgia. Florida's gonna be Florida. It is what it is.
Okay, all right.
Because of Dan Mullen.
Can we discuss?
I'm gonna see what happens when Oregon plays. What is it? It's two teams that give Oregon trouble every single year, and it's always Stanford, and it's always USC. I'm gonna see what happens when they play Stanford and USC. Cause no matter how bad them teams are, they always for some reason end up beating. They're gonna lose to one of them two teams, and then we can be done with Oregon.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you that one. I'm gonna give you that.
All right, so like I want to get back to my Georgia pick though. Damn, you just want to just slide by my Georgia pick. All right, damn. So I was watching college football the last couple weeks, right? And I realized something. It ain't really no great quarterbacks this year. Ain't no number one overall picks at quarterback playing football this year.
Not a word.
I don't see none. So I was like, yo, in a year where ain't no great quarterbacks.
Defense wins championship.
And Georgia got a great ass defense. Man, they might win every game by 10 points. At least 10 points. They might win every game by at least 10 points easily.
100%.
So, I just want to say that my Georgia pick looking good in the light. It's looking great.
I can see you pick Georgia win a championship. I would have never get. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I laughed. And it ain't looking too laughable right now. The answer to this question is, if Adam Fuller ain't been fired yet, nobody getting fired in the middle of the season. I read it when you posted down there. At this point, if Adam Fuller ain't been fired yet, if you can't find calls this many games into the season, after losing to Jacksonville State and that crazy call at the end of the game, followed by giving up more points again, hey, man, nobody's getting fired in the middle of the season. All I can think of.
Nobody's getting
dropped. What
season. Do you think the holdup is on him firing Adam Fuller? You know, I know.
He got to have footage on Mike. He got to have footage on Mike, on Alf. He got to have footage on everybody on that staff. He been playing this like, what's the boy from, what's the movie where he was the president, where he basically gamed himself all the way up into the president. He was the house whip. What's the dog on there? House of Cards. Man, what's the name? Mm-hmm. Full out here doing House of Cards work, man.
Yeah.
House of Cards work. Because that's the only excuse I could think of for y'all, for Adam Fuller to still have a job, because this don't make no sense. Yeah. Adam Fuller has done nothing to retain the job whatsoever. We saw everything we saw last year. We saw his track record. He have come in and not done anything better. So, in my opinion, like, if they ain't fired him yet, he ain't getting fired. Maybe they feel like three games is too soon. I don't know. But that man ain't getting fired. Maybe I think every week we're going to say, well, maybe I think he get blown out by Louisville. Maybe I think he get blown out by – I mean, like, I don't know which one is going to be the one where they were like, you know what, that's too much. Like, I don't know which game that's going to be. But if it ain't happened yet, it ain't going to happen.
Okay. So, another question I got then. What do you think the holdup is? I got an idea.
I just told you the sex thing. I mean, there is no legit reason that I can think of in my mind that holds that is holding this up, other than the fact that he has dirt on somebody he in a prime position.
Can you explain it to me?
Because
I think
it's because... It's my personal opinion. I think it's because his offense is so bad that he can't justify walking out of full of offense. He can't justify walking out of full of offense and be like, yo, I need to talk to you about what's going on
with defense.
And I feel like...
Yeah, really?
I don't feel like,
about what's going on in that offense. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. I fully be like, well, we got problems, but I mean, I ain't the only problem around here.
Yeah, are you firing you too? Yeah, are you firing you? Yeah, because if you're not firing you, then I'm going to stay right here. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe you walked in the full office and you're like, hey, listen, man, you know what's happening on defense has been unacceptable. And he was like, huh, really? So what's been happening on offense? You know what I mean? And then Mike walked out. He was like, touche. All right. And he left. Maybe that's what happened. So maybe whatever week we score 50 and the offense only get you, you know what I mean, and the defense get you 60, that'll be the week you get fired.
Yeah.
That'll be the week you get fired. So UMass.
Probably. UMass.
UMass score 60.
The first week they score 30 points, Fuller gonna get fired.
Right. First week they score 30 and the defense gives up 40. You're right. That's gonna be the week.
It says, will Dugans be gone after this year? And when he was at Miami, the wide receiver was terrible. Yeah, dude, you know.
No, he won't be gone after this year because he should have been gone after last year.
I'm going to be honest with you, dude. I missed on the Dugans thing because I thought Dugans was going to be good here.
I thought he was at first, but then, again, we kept – I think I told you about him. We started getting those messages or whatever it is of Dugans being one foot out, one foot in, not really committed to being here at Florida State, miss Miami, all sorts of other stuff. I mean, we got those messages. So in my opinion, I was with it too. But then when you start seeing the product on the field, and then it was like, you know, and then you hearing this stuff, it's like, all right, well,
yeah. I'm surprised that Dugas has actually been this bad. That's two former Florida State wide receivers that has been god awful at their job. I mean,
maybe PK want to come and coach the wide receivers.
Ooh,
I'm out, man. I'm done.
Ooh,
I'm done.
PK, that's my guy. PK be starting some shit.
I don't know PK. Respect to that man and whatever craziness he got going on.
Yeah, we got to find another wide receiver coach, man. But I think he need to make about 3 changes on the staff, man. I think if he made 3 changes, I think it's, you know, he got a chance to pull this shit together, you know. So, you know, you never know. But once again, though, man, while you're here, man, make sure you subscribe to the pod. Hit the like button, hit the notify button, hit the bell, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah, go to Apple.
Turn your notifications on. I keep saying it. Tell people, you know what I mean? Like, we're trying to get these followers up, man. We're trying to get these followers up on Twitter, trying to get – we're only a few away, maybe, you know, by 50 away on Twitter. If you know somebody who is not following the podcast, man, have them follow the podcast. If you know somebody who hasn't followed the YouTube page, make sure they hit the follow button on YouTube, man.
Yeah. Who is better, Dugas or Dawsey? I think it's Dawsey.
By a lot.
Yeah.
that's not even close.
Yeah, I think it's Dawsey.
By a whole
I think
lot.
It's Dawsey.
By a whole lot.
Yeah, I think it was Dawsey. Dawsey pretty good. Dawsey pretty good compared to Dugas. I think I'd take a little Dawsey right about now.
I'd take Dawsey right now. 100%.
I'll take those. Yeah, man. So we had 50 minutes, man.
Let's wrap right there, man.
Listen, that's much longer than what I like to do.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all, man. We appreciate all the questions. If y'all got one, y'all think of one later, man. Just hit up the Listen Up Podcast on Twitter. If y'all on the Facebook group and y'all see me, man, just tag the name. You know what I mean? Just tag the name. I'm on there just starting stuff with the folks on Facebook. So, man, if y'all see me, just ask questions, man. We definitely there. Also, if you search for the Listen Up Podcast page, Listen Up Podcast, you know the logo. Find that page on Facebook and like the page. We're going to start posting, you know, the YouTube episodes and stuff like that on there as well. So, like I said, wherever you can find content, man, we there.
So, all right, man.
Hey, that's it, man. This was the Listen Up Podcast. We are out.
You
just heard the Listen Up Podcast. Some peace had it.